This episode is brought to you by Pure Spectrum CBD. If you're in the market for a CBD product that contains absolutely no THC, then look no further than Pure Spectrum CBD. They produce a wide variety of products, from delicious gummies and soft gels to relaxing bath soaks and facial creams, so that you have a lot of different ways, whether tasty and relaxing or just quick and convenient, to receive the benefits of CBD oil, but again, without any THC. Go to purespectrumcbd.com and use my promo code OCDStraightTalk for 15% off your purchase. That's purespectrumcbd.com and use my promo code OCDStraightTalk for 15% off your purchase. All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk.
The question that she asked was like, she had been watching this show, right, that she used to really like and maybe got out of the habit of watching or whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And she was catching up on the show but noticed that certain aspects of the show began activating her OCD. And as she'd watch it, the obsessions kind of started chirping at her. And she felt some anxiety relative to the intrusive thoughts and brought it up in session. She's like, I've been catching up on the show. I really like it, but it's definitely causing me some anxiety. You know, say, does watching the show, does it kind of qualify for an exposure for me, or is that too informal? Right. I thought, man, that's a good question. Right. It's a really good question. So we gabbed about it. We kind of chatted through it. And oftentimes individuals will kind of bring with them into therapy this notion that exposures have to be something very, very strict and specific. And if they're not, then they're not going to be effective. And I've talked about the parameters that the literature provides relative to what makes an exposure an effective exposure. These sort of four components that interact together and together form this notion of a evidence-based treatment protocol for OCD and really for anxiety-related disorders like panic disorder or specific phobia or OCD, you know, things like this, and the list goes on. So the idea is like, well, how formal does it, like if I'm hanging out with my buddies and we go over to a bar and I happen to see this person, or I happen to engage in that activity, and maybe that was kind of maybe it was kind of spontaneous and I wasn't really thinking it was going to happen, and all of a sudden it's happening and it's causing me a lot of anxiety, is this an exposure, right? Or is an exposure something that I have to kind of plan and it has to be on like my hierarchy and I have to be kind of doing it with my therapist and things like this, like how informal can it be? And again, I think it's a really, really good question. And I think as long as we're hanging in with those parameters, right? The idea that an exposure is at least moderately anxiety producing, right? A situation, I should say, is at least relatively anxiety producing. And in it, when we're facing that situation, we have unwanted thoughts, anxiety producing thoughts. We might call them obsessions, right? And like I say, these obsessions elicit anxiety. So we're having this sort of psychoemotive discomfort when we're facing the situation. That's an important component of what will make that situation and a potentially effective exposure, right? The next of these is the idea of time, right? And think time is on my side, right? I need to be able to do this for a long time. Time is my friend. Like I say, time is on my side. If I'm doing this thing for like 15 minutes and then I'm bouncing out, like I'm probably not going to gain much therapeutically from the engagement of that exposure. At least that's what the literature is going to say. Like, you know, in all likelihood, you're not going to benefit a great deal from doing this exposure unless you're hanging in there for like 45 or 60 minutes of consistent engagement of this time. I'm not talking about like unbroken time or kind of do it like 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there. That's not the idea. I mean, if that's all you've got, then maybe that's a starting point. But I would say push yourself, man. Do everything you can. It's like, so we're looking at like 45 to 60 minutes of unbroken time. The next idea becomes not just once, do it repeatedly, right? So we're talking about an anxiety producing situation that we're engaging for a prolonged period of time. And then we're engaging that situation prolongedly and repeatedly. Again, I've talked about this before recently. But the concept becomes, we need to be able to do it over and over again. And maybe you ask, well, like, how many times is over and over? And I would say, well, I think that doing the exposure for, you know, a consistent week, if that's possible for you to do, doing it every day for a week. And when I say doing it, I'm talking about a situation that elicits anxiety and that we're facing for 45 to 60 minutes at a time, right? That's doing it. And then we're doing it repeatedly. So how many times? I don't know, like 6, 7, 8, 10 times over and over again through the course of, like I say, 6, 7, 8, 10 days. The goal is for that situation to not really elicit the same level of anxiety that it used to. So here you're really getting into this notion that, well, yes, there are some formalities, some objective parameters to the engagement of exposures, but we really can technically do an exposure anytime, provided that we're facing a situation that's causing some anxiety, provided that we're able to hang in there for an extended period of time, and then provided that we're able to sort of manufacture the engagement of this situation repeatedly. This is in all likelihood going to be at least a potentially effective exposure. So the last piece of it becomes that behavioral element that we often talk about, right? So the literature is really, really strong, and it's really, really clear on this, that you can do everything right. You can do an exposure that causes you anxiety, and you can hang in there for a long time, and you can even do it repeatedly and all that shit. But look, here's the reality of it. If you're doing compulsions through the process, it's, again, it's really, really clear. Abramowitz and Jacoby, in I think 2014 study, laid this out beautifully. And if I'm not misremembering, they stated it over and over again in the study, that exposure therapy without ritual prevention is not effective. So in other words, is doing compulsions while you're doing exposures means you're doing nothing, right? You're just sitting there spinning your wheels, getting nothing done. So that last piece is, you got to be able to add to the exposure element, stopping the compulsions. And of course, that raises this whole important question. Well, what makes a behavior a compulsion? So I think that that's part of it. And another way of saying the same thing is, like, and I've said this before, you're not really doing exposure therapy if you're also doing compulsions, right? Or you might say it also this way, that the point at which you stop doing compulsions is also correspondingly the point at which you start doing exposure therapy, right? And you say, well, wait a minute. If you're just stopping compulsions, you're not necessarily facing a situation that's causing you anxiety prolongedly and repeatedly. And I would say, are you listening to yourself? Wait a second. Bullshit. Of course it means that, right? If you're like, when are you doing a compulsion? You go back to the definition laid out by the American Psychiatric Association, right? In DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. The definition says that a compulsion is a behavior that we engage repeatedly, somewhat repeatedly, for the purpose of reducing anxiety or getting rid of unwanted thoughts. And it's not connected to the mitigation of actual danger, right? So if that's the definition, then you're only doing a compulsion when you're anxious, when you're having intrusive thoughts. That by definition is the only time you're doing a behavior that qualifies as a compulsion, right? If you're doing something relative to having intrusive thoughts and feeling anxiety and trying to get rid of these, well, then that behavior becomes a compulsion. And if you're not feeling anxious, you're not having intrusive thoughts, then whatever you're doing is not a compulsion by definition, right? So the point at which you stop doing compulsions is the point at which you start doing exposure therapy. And you say, well, why? Well, because you're now facing the anxiety-producing situation. You're now facing these thoughts head on. You're now facing and tolerating over an extended period of time the anxiety that you feel. And you're having thoughts and you're feeling anxiety in relationship to whatever situation you're in, right? Whatever situation or thought that's popped into your mind, whatever's going on, that has become the exposure. And identifying and resisting the compulsion or preventing the compulsion now has qualified this thought, this situation, is qualified this moment in time as an exposure. Now can we engage this for 45 to 60 minutes, meaning can we stop compulsions for 45 to 60 minutes, and then can we do this repeatedly, right? And that's an easy way to say, well, yeah, I mean, whether or not I'm doing an exposure, it's an easy way to confirm, if you will, that I'm doing an effective exposure. So back to her question, it's like, well, is watching this show an exposure for me? Is that too informal? I would say, well, if it's firing on all the cylinders of those parameters, right? If it's causing you some anxiety, if you're engaging it for 45 to 60 minutes at a time, if you're able to do so and you're doing so repeatedly, and through the course of doing that, you're not engaging any compulsions, the answer is yes. It's the literature would suggest an effective exposure for you. You just have to be able to hang in there with the anxiety prolongedly and repeatedly and fucking not do any compulsions, right? That's the idea. Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.